Yes, we left off, first is back into the swing of things a little bit. We left off last week discussing the sugya of Chuppah Kona. So Rav Huna had a remarkable sheet about Chuppah Kona. Rav Huna was of the opinion that Chuppah can create Kedushin as well. He derived this from a whole complicated drasha based on a couple of chaymers and meratzinos. Rav Huna came to the conclusion, not only is Chuppah valid as a method of Nisuin, but it's valid as a method of Kedushin as well. And everybody else disagreed with Rav Huna. So we still have to understand a little bit later on what exactly Lumbus is, why one should accept Rav Huna or reject Rav Huna. But that was clearly a machlokas, even on a level of deraisa, what can Chuppah affect? But everybody agrees that there is this entity called Chuppah, called Nisuin Chuppah, we use the terms interchangeably. And even though according to Rav Huna, it can even affect Kedusha, which we probably don't accept, but it can affect Nisuin, even on a level of deraisa. There are many Nafkaminas Ladina on the level of deraisa. Nafkaminas in terms of Yehuchus Yerusha, Nochus Tumas Konim, and a series of other halachas, Afar Stadarm, etc., that depend upon Nisuin. Yet what is unclear in the Gemara is how exactly do you do this? So Kedushin is very clear. It's the first mission of Kedushin, Kesar Shtabia, whereas how do you create Nisuin? The only word that the Gemara uses is Chuppah and Nisuin. He uses those two words interchangeably, but never explains to us, at least explicitly, what exactly those terms mean. How exactly do you go about doing that? So he said at the very end of the Shir that the Rambam put together a couple of Gemaras, and the Rambam comes to the conclusion that the definition of Chuppah / Nisuin is Yichud. Kapuha goes to Yichud together, and it has to be what we call a Yichud Aroy Labiyah. It has to be Yichud in a way that in theory they could be have Biyah together. And therefore, if the woman is a Nida, so that would not be an acceptable method of Chuppah according to the Shita of Rambam. And the Rambam got it from two Gemaras. One Gemara was, the beginning of the Sukkah spoke about, if the time of marriage reaches the 12 months, whatever amount of time they set aside reaches, and the husband is dilly-dallying, then he has to begin to support her. If the husband is justified for not going through with the Nisun at that point, then he doesn't have to support her yet. Now, what's called justified? So the Gemara said, if she becomes a Nida, she becomes a Nida, so she's justified. So the Rambam said, of course he's justified, because there would be no way to have Nisun anyway, because by that she's a Nida. The other Gemara that pushed the Rambam into that direction, that Yichud Aroy Labiyah is what's called Chuppah, what's called Nisun, is the Gemara tucked away in the involving Subas, where the Gemara was discussing, if a person obligates himself to pay above and beyond the value of what it says in the Ksuba, so the Gemara says that he only becomes mechuyuf to pay that amount after Nisuin. So because it's understood that the person probably didn't want to give the extra money unless he mamash lives together with her. So the Gemara asked the question, what would it then be if she was in Nida at the time? So maybe he wasn't obligated, he didn't obligate himself yet. So the Gemara leaves Tzarchi and leaves the Teku. So the Rambam said, said, you see from the Gemara that if she's a Nida, you can't have Nisuin, because Nisuin must be Yichud, and it has to be Yichud or Rabbiyah, and therefore it's no good. So the Rambam put together two Gemaras. So come other Rishonim and question whether those Gemaras have any relevance or not to our discussion. So take a look at the 11th of the Maramah Kamos. So the 11th of the Maramah Kamos, the Rosh Maseches Ksubas quotes the Rambam, that the Rambam got it from this Gemara daft involving Suba, so the Gemara has the Shaila about the person who obligated himself to pay the extra money, and then she becomes a Nida. So does he have to pay the money or not? So if you take a look at the fourth line of the Rush, first couple of words in the line of Akasha. To Maishna, the Mevailer of Ashi, Achupa Dehacha. If the Rambam is right, that this Gemara in Subas is discussing a general question about Chupa and Nisuin, why does it appear here? This is not the sugya of Nisuin. Daft involving Subas is a technical issue. Why doesn't the Gemara talk about it by other cases of chuppah? For example, if a girl marries a kohen, she can only begin to eat truma after the point of nisuin. So why doesn't the Gemara doesn't raise the question, what if she's in need at the time? There are hundreds of places in the Gemara and Ksubas. The Gemara talks about nisuin. How come the Gemara never ever raises the question, what if she's in need? So matzim vayach by a chuppah need to have a chuppah ilav. From a dactic mishmozo yavin, says the Rosh. Therefore, if you take a look and you really analyze our sugya properly, the pshita lay the chuppah need to have a chuppah. Of course, the Gemara knew that when a Torah chuppah need is considered to be a chuppah. That was never a question. But on the second page, al demivayalei, what the Gemara shaila was. Top of the second page, al demivayalei imtim salomar. To Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Zachsa b'chibas chuppah below bia, chuppah's nida mahu. Remember, we're talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Tana who told us that if a person obligates himself to pay tesefis, to pay extra money of ksuba, he only obligates himself once she reaches the point of nisuin. That's a psychological assessment. We're assuming that the person probably didn't want to pay the extra cash unless he at least reached the point of completing the marriage. So that's what the Gemara is a shayla. He couldn't complete the marriage. She's a nida, so maybe psychologically he wasn't ready to commit himself yet. What does it have to do with what's called the chuppah? What does it have to do with what's called the nisuin? There are two different sugyas, says the Rosh. There's the objective halachic criteria, what's called chuppah, what's called nisuin. And the answer to that question is, we have no idea. We have no gemara. There's no gemara that says one way or the other. The only gemara that we have is the gemara that's pilpling about whether a nida can have a chuppah or not. That's talking about psychologically, with a person obligating himself to pay extra money that he got himself into, if she's not yet muteris to him, so maybe it could be he's holding back from being obligated himself. But in terms of halachically first, the darim, and for truma, and for yerusha, for all dini atari that depend upon the suin, there is one real official definition of chuppah. The only problem is, of course, we don't know what it is. So we have Shitas HaRambam, who at least gave us a technical definition of chuppah, and now we have the Rosh, and the Ran, and other Rishonim who are saying that definition is not the correct one. So what is the correct definition? It's very easy to reject somebody else's. What is the real definition? So we take a look at the 12th of the Rambam Kamos. So the Shulchan Aruch, in Ebn Ezra and Sibin and Hay, quotes other opinions of Rishonim. V'yesh Omrim, the chuppah's besula mishayatza behinuma. The chuppah for a besula, for a woman getting married for the first time, is when she's yatza behinuma. What is a yatza behinuma? When she goes out literally with a veil, covering her face, covering her hair. The process of again, almost what we call, almost like the marching down. Like that process of what do you call it, the bedekin, whether you call it the covering of the veil, you want to call it the walking down with the veil covered, whatever you want to call it, the yatziya behinuma. That's considered to be the chuppah. The only problem with this is that process doesn't exist by an amana, because we don't really do that when a woman's getting married for the second time. We don't have that old procedure. So the amana mishayis yachadu. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Tosfos that, with the Ramah, really the Ramah quoting from Tosfos that when you have an amana, woman getting married for the second time, so then we almost fall back a little bit on the Rambam. We almost fall back on the notion that it's yichud. And then the Ramah writes, v'abminik pashar achshav, says now the standard practice is likros chuppah. You want to know what the chuppah, what the nisun of the Gemara is? So we've been looking for these halachic concepts. We're looking for yichud, we're looking for yatz minuma. Says Ramah, why don't you just ask the man on the street what's called chuppah? V'abminik pashar achshav, likros chuppah, makam shemechnisim sham yuriya prusa gabi klonsos. You ever see a chuppah, says the Ramah? They take a sheet and spread it over poles. The chosen and kala stand under the canopy with poles, with a sheet on top of them, in front of everybody. And he gives a kedushin there. And they have birchas erusin and nisuin. And then they take them to a room somewhere, and they eat together privately. By the way, he just described in three lines, just described standard wedding procedure, at least in Ashkenazi communities. Says the Ramah, you want to know what chuppah is? That is chuppah. So what the Ramah basically almost combined together a few different factors. He said that the chuppah that Chazal are referring to is not an absolute halachic process of a yichud with the bia, the way the Rambam was depicting it. Yet it's not exactly the yatzah behinuma like Tosfos was saying it. He's saying somewhere in the middle that it is some kind of a coming to a home together, to a structure together. But the structure is not literally a locked door, a locked room, but rather standing under almost like a symbolic kind of a house, standing under four poles, a Turas HaPesach, with a little bit of a roof on it. So b'shas al-chak, that's also considered to be like a bias, and that's considered to be the lach equivalent of nisuin and chuppah. So at that point, all the derais and the kedidim of nisuin kick in after standing under the chuppah.
Why is it the two parts? Why is the chuppah? She's breaking it down into the yichud of the room.
Oh, you want to know where the last line comes from, about malichim yeah. Solabayis. Okay, we'll get in a second where that last line comes from. So far we have a few different possibilities. What exactly is this chuppah? Is the chuppah the Rambam's chuppah v'yichud or Rabbiya? Is the chuppah the Ramah's chuppah, meaning a pasha standing on a canopy? So there is a Ran in Maseches Ksubas that says that the answer to the question is even simpler than the two. says, what is chuppah? Says the Ran, you know, we're looking for Gemaras to be mendayik from, what chuppah means, what nesuin is. Says the Ran, why don't we go back to the Chumash, go back to the source. The Torah speaks about nesuin in the parasha of Hafaras Nedarim. The halacha is that if a married woman takes a neder, if it's a neder that either is something that's painful for her, it's uncomfortable for her, or if it's something that affects the relationship with her husband, so the Torah says that the husband has the right to do what's called Hafaras Nedarim, not Hafaras. Hafaras Nedarim is anyone can do. You go to a Beis Din and they try to figure out why, what mistake you made when you were makabel the neder. Hafaras Nedarim means the woman says she takes a neder, she's not going to eat meat anymore. There was no mistake. She knew exactly what she was doing. The Beis Din can't help her. But the husband, when he hears that she took a neder, he says, Mufalach, I don't want you to have this neder on you. I'm canceling the neder. So that's a din. That's a pasuk in Parshas Matos, that he has a right to do so, as long as it's Biyom Shom, as long as if it's on the day that he heard it. At what point is he considered to be her husband for the purposes of Hafaras Nedarim? So the Gemara says that, based on the pasuk of Imbeis Yishah Nedara, that if she took the neder when she was in his home, ishah, there was an amapake, means the house of her husband, if she took the neder in the house of her husband, then and only then does he have the koach of Hafaras Nedarim. There's a very, very unique din of Nara Hamarasa. If she's 12 years old and she had Erisin, then the father and the husband together can be made for the neder, but that's the exception to the rule. But let's say a 20-year-old woman has Kiddushin, has Erisin, the husband cannot be made for the neder, but after Nisuin, then he can be made for any subsequent Nedarim. Ain't about made for the Kaidman. It can't be made for the Dharm she took beforehand, but any neder that she takes post Nisuin, he has the ability to be made for. So the Torah describes that relationship of Imbeis Yishah Nedara. She's in the home of the husband. So what does that mean? What do the terms mean? So says the Ran, what that term means is you want to know how do you create Nisuin? It's very simple. You go home with the husband. That is Nisuin. Nisuin is not a yichra labi in the catering facility. Nisuin is not walking down the aisle. Nisuin is not doing bedeket. Nisuin is not standing on the poles with canopies on top of them. It's nothing, says the Ran. You want to know what Nisuin is? Nisuin is exactly what it says in the Chumash. Beis Isha Nadara, when she literally goes home that night, they go home for the purposes of living together as husband and wife. That is the point of Nisuin. So you have almost a conceptual machlek is taking place. Is Nisuin something very, very practical, going home? Or is Nisuin something almost conceptual, almost like a make-believe home? Whether the make-believe home is a little bit of it's a yichud room inside the wedding hall, or it's a make-believe home of standing under the chuppah. These are all make-believe Nisuins. According to the Ran, the real McCoy, in Beis Yishah Nedarim, when you go home, that's considered to be Nisuin. How do we paskin in halacha on this shayla? So again, for Rav Huna, this is important for Ilchus Kiddushin. For us, it's not so boring. We're not following Rav Huna right now. We're looking at it through the eyes of Nisuin. We want to know how do you create Nisuin. So which one of the above do we do? So the answer is, under normal circumstances, we do all of the above. That we're not quite sure what the real Nisuin is. So we want to be married L'chol HaDeyos. Spend a lot of money in a wedding. You want to walk home at the end. You want to sit back 20 years later and realize that you're not married according to half the Rishon. You want to be married L'chol HaDeyos. So we do every single step along the way that we practically, physically can. We do every step in terms of Nisuin. So how do we go about doing this? Well, we do the, some Rishonim say, it's the bedekin, the covering the face, covering the veil, whatever that is. So we do that also. We stand under the chuppah also. So we have the Ramah called Dominica Poshut. Then in Ashkenazi communities, we go to the Yichud room afterwards. So maybe that's the Rambam's Nisuin. And then the couple goes off. Eventually they go home. At some point they go home that night. So when they go home that night, that's the Beis Yishah Nedara. That's the Beis Ish. And that's considered to be the Nisuin. And now we're done. So we're married the Chol HaDeyos.
Going home but not going to a hotel room?
So the Chora, according to the Ran, either it has to be mamish the husband's house, or unless you argue that the husband's paying the bill. Question: who's paying? Who's put the hotel on the credit card? Most probably could be the girl's father who put the hotel on the credit card, so maybe it doesn't count. So maybe the question to the Ran, they didn't technically have to sue it until later. I don't know. So we want to make sure we're covered the Chol HaDeyos, so we do all the above. Every once in a while, we can't do all of the above. If the girl happens to be a nida, then obviously some of these things can't happen. So they can't have a yichud. It's not a yichud or a royal abiyah. We won't even permit them to have yichud yet. So we're going to... Usually what they do is if the girl is a nida, they'll go to the yichud room, or they'll stick a kid inside the yichud room to avoid any isurim of yichud, because the couple is not permitted to have yichud, called them be a rishon, even though they are husband and wife. So what's going to happen? What happened to the Gaval? What happened to the Rambam Shita? So the answer is either we forgo the Rambam Shita, or when they get eventually when she goes to the mikvah a week later, so they're going to go home. So when they go home, so yesh b'chlal the Rav Shita as well. So at the end of the day, we're going to get all the different shitas in terms of Yisuin. We're going to try to get them all on the wedding night, and every once in a while we have to stick one a couple of nights later. That idea that the Rambam tells us that it has to be yichud, but the Rambam added on to that.
Even according to Rambam, you would have to give a
ksuva. We'll get to the ksuva right now. So even according to the view of the Rambam, that it has to be yichud, it's more than just yichud. It has to be a yichud or a labia. That's what the Gemara ksuva, the way the Rambam read the Gemara, tells us that if she's in need, that's not going to work. So it has to be a yichud or a labia. So it's based on this, the Ran, in the beginning of ksuvas, the Ran happens not to hold like the Ram. The Ram says that yichud is not what nesu'in is. Nesu'in is when they go home. If they go home with 20 other people, that's also considered to be nesu'in. According to the Rambam, as long as husband and wife go back to the husband's house at some point, even though they have 20 guests with them, that's still considered to be nesu'in. But according to the view of the Rambam, that it has to be a yichud, it has to be a yichud or a labia. So the Rambam was only talking about when the woman is a nida. That was the only example that the Rambam gave. So the Ran ends on another example. The Ran says, what if she's not a nida? She rented the mikveh already, but they didn't rent the ksuba yet. So kozman, they didn't rent the ksuba. That may be also a problem of a yichud she'en or a labia. Why is that? Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksubas that kozman, that a woman doesn't have a piece of paper, she doesn't have the ksuba in her hand, the couple are not permitted to be together. Now why is that? So the Gemara explains that whether or not he wrote the ksuba is irrelevant. He's obligated to pay ksuba. The Mishnah ksuba says, now, let's say a couple gets married. He didn't bother writing the ksuba. So the Mishnah doesn't matter. Beis Din will enforce it anyway. So we call it Tanai Beis Din. Once the Chachamim instituted ksubas, Machlekes and Tanoim, Machlekes and Mishonim, where the ksuba was instituted by the Torah itself, or whether it's a Din Derabbanan, a ksuba Deraisa Derabbanan, but it's Machlekes, the Ashkenazim, the Sephardim. And with the Ashkenazim, we write in the text of Ksuba, the Chazi Lechem Deraisa. So Rabbi Natam said, the reason why you write that is because we pass in Ksuba's Deraisa. Now, this is a different reason why we write that. But the Sfarim, they don't write that. They just write the Chazi Lechi. They just write the Chazi Lechi blank. They don't take a stand on the issue. They don't want to say it's Deraisa. They don't want to say anything. So the Chazi Lechi. I have to remember that today, because I have to write a Ksuba for a fellow who's getting married in a couple of days. He's a Sfarim boy. So he asked me to fill out his Ksuba from today. He said, I got to remember to leave out that word of the Chazi Lechi Deraisa. If there's room on the Ksuba, I got to make a blank, make a line there. So anyway, so the din is that whether or not you write the ksuba is going to be payable anyway. But Afa Pichain, the Gemara tells us that even though she doesn't need it in terms of din mamonis, but she needs it in terms of issa v'heter. If a woman doesn't have access to a ksuba, she doesn't have a piece of paper in front of her, so then she's never going to think, she's going to be concerned lest the husband's going to really pay up. So therefore, she's always going to be nervous about it. The Gemara says that we want to make sure that the woman has smichus das, that the woman knows that she's really truly going to get the ksuba. So therefore, Chazal instituted that he better write it. And Kozman, they don't write it; they're not permitted to be together. So there's an iser bia even 20 years later. Say the woman loses the ksuba, so they have to go to a rav right away and get what we call the ksuba the irchasa. You have to have a makeup ksuba. You have to have there's a whole text that's written for the person who loses the ksuba. So a couple is not permitted to be together until she has either her original ksuba or she has what's called the ksuba the irchasa. Several years ago, after Hurricane Sandy, so a few people had to write up Shnei Ksubas Nirchasas. A lot of people in the five towns, they had the Ksubas stashed in the basement somewhere, and the floods came and destroyed everything. So I remember we were at a wedding a couple of days after Hurricane Sandy in the marina, and after the chuppah was over, so some fellow came over to us and says, as they were reading the ksuba, all of a sudden it dawned on him that his ksuba is no longer together with the rest of his stuff in his basement. So he said, right away we have to write another ksuba. So the good news was that we had somebody had the text of Nesu'in Kilchasan, which has the text of the Shek Ksuba Nirchasa in it. So Rabbi Willick took out a piece of paper, because they wrote him, they made a copy, whatever it was, they wrote on the spot, a Shek Ksuba Nirchasa for him. So it took place in the marina. So I remember the fellow's line. He turns around to his to us and he says, he always wanted a marina wedding. So he don't know where he got married 20 years before, but his ksuba now had set on Throck's neck of Bronx, whatever it says. Okay. Anyway, get back to this story. So the Ran writes that since the halacha is a couple are not permitted to be together until they have a ksuba that's written, so if you don't write the ksuba before the nesu'in, then you're in a problem, because then you have a yichud, it affects your ena royal labia. And according to the Rambam, a yichud, your ena royal labia, is a problem that can't create nesu'in. So you have to make sure to write that ksuba written before you get to the yichud. Most of the time, that's not relevant. Most of the time, we have the ksuba written way before, right at the chassid's tish, right under the chuppah. The ksuba is always signed. But it does happen. Every once in a while, there's a mistake in the ksuba. And every once in a while, they realize the mistake, And you know, during the reading of the ksuba, that's the most embarrassing. So if the person who reads the ksuba has a little bit of finesse to him, he won't make such a fuss about it under the chuppah. Sometimes, I don't know why, but some people feel they have to like stop and make a whole tatarav, embarrasses them, start kedushin. I don't think it's right to do that. You can just read the ksuba, whatever it says on it. There's no halachas of reading the ksuba anyway. And after the chuppah is over, you should quickly go over to the Mesad HaKadushin and tell him there's a problem in the ksuba. So they have to decide. Not every problem is makib but the end. Sometimes it's a little... it was just an eight ksuba a couple of days ago. And usually I try to read the ksuba quickly. I read it very, very quickly, you know, before I signed it. And there was one, it was a minuscule mistake. It wasn't a real mistake. One word was left out. It didn't make a difference whatsoever. I didn't notice it at the time. So after when they were reading the ksuba under the chuppah, so the person who was reading it made such a to-do about it. He stopped them. He made them fill it in on the spot. The ksuba was kosher the way it was. I don't know why he made such a tatara about it. But anyway, but every once in a while there is a mistake. Sometimes it's a real mistake. You have the wrong name, the wrong date. There are real mistakes that happen. So the poskim write, you should try to fix it right away before you go to the yichud room. Because if you send the couple to the yichud room without a kasher ksuba, so according to some, that maybe yichud shen amar labia may undermine the entire purpose of going to the yichud room. So we try to do that in order to fulfill that shita of the Ram Bedas and Rambam. So getting back to that story, so we have at least a better idea as to, I can't say with certainty what the suin is, but at least we have possibilities. Either it's the yichud amar labia, it's the going to the baisa ish together, or it's the standing under the chuppah together, the badek, and any one of these possibilities. And again, we try, if we can, to be able to say as many shitas as possible. But the real question for us in this sugya, in terms of lamdas, is, you know, we've been almost talking tangentially about what is chuppah, because that real sugya is Rav Huna and the Rabbanan. The Rav Huna says that chuppah can affect kiddushin, and the Rabbanan said that it's not true. All the other Amorim said the whole thing is not true. And we saw inside the Gemara how Rav Huna figured it out based on the Kabachami, based on the Mamatzinu, and the Chum thought it wasn't true. But at the end of the day, conceptually, in terms of just pure lamdas, what is the Nakudas of Machlokes? What are they really arguing about? Why is it that Rav Huna somehow saw in Hilchas Chuppah, he saw the ability of Chuppah to not just create Nisuin, but we can extrapolate that Chuppah can create Kiddushin as well? And why is it that others thought that the whole thing is not true? The whole thing can't, it's not possible that Chuppah can be borrowed. We can't just borrow Hilchas Chuppah from Nisuin and plug it into Kiddushin. So there is a very important beer that's suggested to this machlekes, which will potentially have some very real nafkaminas for us. It appears in Rav Shach Sefer, Lezer Shach Sefer Aviezer in the Rambam. So he presents the following fundamental chakira, what chuppah slash nisuin is all about. And once we understand what it is and what it's not, then we begin to get a better understanding should it carry over to kedushin or not. One can understand the notion of nisuin, of chuppah, in really one of two ways. Either one can understand that this is almost like part of Parshas HaKinyanim. There are many, many different kinyanim in halacha. There are kinyanim of karka, there are kinyanim of avodim, there are kinyanim of taltalin, and there are kinyanim of ishus. So the first mission kedushi shenikis begibul derachim kesu shtar bia. There are three different methods of kinyanim. How do we know that the three methods are really kinyanim oriented? Besides the fact that the Mishnah calls it isha nikneis, so we've already learned that the Gemara jumps back and forth and back and forth, comparing and contrasting different items and saying, well, maybe just as Yakona and Isha with Kesef, maybe Yakona, you know, an Eved with Kesef. And just as Yakona and Eved with Shtar, maybe it could be Motzi and Isha with Shtar. And the Gemara is Dal and Hey and Kedusha, and goes back and forth. Kesef comparing one area to another. Shtar, even Bia, the Gemara compared. Bia is a Kinyan by Yavama, maybe it's a Kinyan by Isha, maybe, yeah, maybe no. But it's not a Kinyan by Amma Ivriya. So whenever we're talking about Parshat Kinyanim, there's a general heading called Parshat Kinyanim, and you have subcategories. Kinyanim, you know, there's one A, one B, one C, one D, one E. There are a lot of different types of kinyanim. And the Gemara had no problems deriving one from another, because once we're in the same area of halacha, so it makes a lot of sense. We could potentially mix and match. If one kinyan works here, then maybe it should or should not work over there. That's one way of understanding nisuin as well. Nisuin is another example of parshas kinyanim. It's a kinyan nisuin. The same way there's a kinyan kiddushin, there's a kinyan nisuin. The kinyan of nisuin has nafkaminas. It has nafkaminas in dollars and cents, in terms of, it's at that point that the husband becomes chayv and she exes the owner. He's not chayv to support his wife before nisuin. It's at that point that if she'll die, he'll be yorishar. It's at that point it has nafkaminas in nisuin heter also. At that point, he could do a first adarim. At that point, they have to be misabel for one another. If she dies when he dies when she's an arusa, there's no avelus. If he's a kohen and she dies at erusin, he's not allowed to be mitami for her. after Nisuin he is. So it's a full-fledged kinyan with nafkaminas, both in terms of mamonos and in terms of isav heter. As we've seen many other kinyan, kiddushin is also a kinyan that has nafkaminas, isav heter, mamonos, etc. Is that the way we understand Nisuin is fundamentally a kinyan? Or do we say no? Nisuin is not really a kinyan altogether. It's a misnomer. It's not a kinyan. There is no din called a kinyan Nisuin. The kinyan was done already at kiddushin. Kiddushin is the only kinyan ishus that we have when we get married. Nisuin is a matzav. It's a status. If and when you were kainan isha, with the isha nicknames, the bottom kesher shtar ubabia, now if you want to take it to the next level, you want to be in the situation, you want to be in the status of being fully married, and who cares whether you're fully married? Well, big nafkamina, hafarst adarim, and tumas konim, and yerusha, and sheksus v'yayna, half a dozen didim, the raises and the rabbanans that depend upon whether you're in the status of nisuin. So how do you create the status? How do you reach that status of nisuin? So the Torah gives you, here's the guidebook. And again, the Ram has his understanding and the Ram has his understanding and there are different possibilities. But it's a status, it's not a kinyan. The kinyan is done at the point of kiddushin. So a very dakastika shayla, a very lomdash hakira, is nisuin pashas hakinyonim? Is it category 1, A, B, C, D, E, F, G? It's another type of kinyan. Or is nisuin the chlal not a kinyan? My nafkamina, at the end of the day, it works. Who cares what it is? So if Shach says, no, it makes a big difference. Kol zman, within the same general category of kinyanim, then we can begin to derive one from another. So Rav Huna makes a lot of sense. Rav Huna tells us, well, if we find that there's a kinyan called standing under a chuppah, there's a kinyan called the yichud room, there's a kinyan called nisuin, so just as it's a kinyan for nisuin, maybe it could double as a kinyan for kedushin as well. And Aisha nicknames the baila, and habakasav shtabibiyah uve chuppah, maybe chuppah can serve as a kinyan kedushin, following the theme of the Gemara and of Gimel and of Dal of Hain kedushin, that kinyanim are derived one from another. We were willing to derive kinyanim of pidyon hekdesh and kinyanim of ama ivri and ever kinaini and ever ivri back and forth to kedushin, so you can jump from kedushin to nisuin kedushin, etc. But he says Rav Shach, if you hold that nisuin is not a kinyan bechlal, it's another year of halacha. There's a matzav, there's a status called being nisua. So how can you compare and contrast that to parsha kinyanim? As we gave an example a couple of weeks ago, that's as absurd as saying, well, you want to know how to get married, you get married by eating matzah. Why? Because after all, eating matzah is a mitzvah, so it must be a kinyan for kedushin. How do you get married? By picking the woman up and shaking her. Just as you take a lulav and you shake it, you shake the woman. Just because something works in one area of halacha doesn't mean it has any relevance in another area of halacha. So just because yichud room and standing under a chuppah creates the matzav of nisuin, I'm talking matzav nisuin, and you're talking kinyan kiddushin. What do the two have to do with each other? That's what the Rabbanan's ultimate response to Rav Huna was. You have no right to compare and contrast. You can't extrapolate from nisuin to kiddushin, from kiddushin to nisuin. They're two totally different areas of halacha. So that chakir, that insight of Rav Shach is now going to become critical, because now we have to really re-ask a question. How do we pass it? Do we follow Rav Huna? Do we follow the Rabbanan? Because following one over the other is not just a technical detail now. It's going to indicate something about the very nature of nisuin. And once you understand the nature of nisuin, then some of the halachas governing nisuin are going to depend upon that. So for the Mitzvah Shem on Friday, we'll try to get a little bit of a better understanding of what nisuin is, what nisuin is not, and how this impacts on us halachalamaisis.